This is the World Cup Sound of Football.
Evening all, welcome to another edition of the World Cup Sound of Football. My name's Chris Hunkley, and with me once again, I'm pleased to say, are Graham Sibley and Terry DeFellin. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
Now this podcast sees us covering our very first England game, because we are just under half an hour away from the match between England and Algeria. Now, first of all, a belated apologies to those of you that were hoping to hear us cover the match between England and the USA, you know, best laid plans and all that. But in retrospect, I think we were kind of relieved that we didn't cover that match, because it would have only had you listening to three men of a certain age being downright miserable after the experience of that American game. But that's all behind us now. There's still all to play for and much to discuss, starting off with tonight's team news. Now, Terry, starting off at the back, Fabio Capello has decided to replace Robert Green with David James. Your view on that, please?
I think it's a terrible change for Robert Green, because I think that once you've made your choice of number one, then you should stick with him. But having said that, if the goalkeeper has lost the confidence of the manager, then there is only one decision left to be made, and that's to replace him. And I guess it's David James' turn. I don't know how everybody feels about maybe whether Joe Hart should have been given the go. But, you know, you only have three games, and we've not blown the first one, but we have, you know, missed the opportunity to take a commanding position in the group, thanks to one mistake. And so I guess that when you're in the World Cup and it's very much all or nothing, there are very few second chances, okay to just go ahead and make a drastic and fairly, you know, career-threatening decision. And the legacy for Green is going to be carried with him for many years to come in the future. I hope he gets the opportunity to redeem himself. I genuinely do, because I think he's a good goalkeeper and he seems to be a pretty straightforward guy. I'm not sure about the selection of James. James seems to have had as many lives as a bulletproof cat. he's not exactly a Mr. Safe Hands himself down the years, and yet I suppose he has the experience of those mistakes, and indeed he has the big match experience, which Joe Hart lacks, and so I guess that's why he has the knob. Chris, you are you're the West Ham fan. What do you think?
Well, I mean, funny you say about the whole thing of James being picked on the basis of experience. I mean, that's what the great and the good have been focusing on. It seems like just before the World Cup, it seemed like everybody was backing David James and seemingly were all too keen to forget about his past mistakes, as you just referred to, really. Interesting, really, taking it from another angle, one could argue that it doesn't matter what goalkeeper you get, which goalkeeper you pick as your first choice, if they make a mistake along the lines of what Robert Green had, it's going to go in anyway, so it doesn't really kind of matter. So it's been said during the course of the day. I mean, certainly the BBC have been all over this. Fabio Capello supposedly has been monitoring Robert Green intensely during the training sessions that they've had over the last sort of 48 hours, and they reckon that he looked less than convincing. Ray Clements was testing him out with a number of shots, and he didn't save all of them, apparently, which is a real great shock, because I'm sure that all England goalkeepers save every single shot in training practice. But I think I'm with you really on that, Terry, in the sense that it's a shame for Robert Green, but as it is, if Capello did feel that he wasn't 100% kind of sold on Green playing tonight, then I guess he has to go for someone else, and the one with the most experience is David James. But I'm certainly not convinced that he's going to be a completely safe pair of hands. And I think, see, my view a couple of days ago was that you think if you're going to pick Joe Hart for this game, you think this is a crucial game, and you're going to put in a player who's only had, what, three caps so far for England. This is you can't do that. But then you think, well, when is he going to get a chance to play during this World Cup on that basis? Because the games aren't going to get any less significant as we go along. So I'm not sure we're going to see much of Joe Hart in this World Cup. And for all we know, we could be seeing David James right through to the bitter end. That's my view in any case. Graham, Jamie Carragher He's starting at the back tonight in place of the injured Ledley King. Expected, I guess. Of course, he came on Carragher during the last game. Would you have preferred someone else possibly chosen in that position?
Well, I don't think we have a lot of options there, do we, really?
No.
So I think go for experience, I suppose, rather than anything else. Yeah, I think the rest of the team has pretty much picked itself. I mean, like, yeah, you've got Carragher and Barry coming in the outfield, but they seem like the most logical choices to come in. Obviously, Barry would have probably started the last game had he been fit enough. I think Terry and Carragher can work at the back. I mean, it doesn't fill me with great hope when we come up against a team like Argentina or Brazil. But just get us through the group stage and hopefully they'll bed in. I mean, if you look at that defence, it's three quarters of a Chelsea defence, isn't it? Really, so it's
should be a degree of confidence and familiarity with each other. If nothing
well,
else,
hopefully so. Hopefully so. I mean, so it's
there goes the logic.
Yes. Yeah, and Johnson and Carragher have got lots of experience of playing together as well. So hopefully there should be a lot of knowledge there anyway between at the back there. I mean, looking at the names down there, that's an okay England side. I mean, not really. I mean, looking at sort of qualification campaign and everything like that. You know, if you'd seen that one coming out, you'd thought, yeah, that's a good enough side. Yeah, we'll go out with that. And we'll win comfortably. And so I think we should be buoyant. I mean, I know we were all buoyant on Saturday before the USA game, and all those hopes were summarily dashed. I think we can all afford to say, no, come on, let's be positive, and let's 3-0 to England. Come on,
upwards. Yeah, Terry, as you mentioned, Gareth Barry returns, which I guess is deemed to be a good thing, if for no other reason than it means Steven Gerrard can play further upfield as he prefers. That's a reason to be cheerful, I guess.
Yes, Barry always brings balance to the England midfield, always has done. He's a good player for England, and it's good that he is there. As much as ITV commentators were saying that the Gerrard-Lampard partnership was working fine, it was a damn lie, and everyone knows it. it wasn't working fine at all. You know, we played poorly against an average US side, and with Barry back in the side, we have balance and stability to the England midfield, which the England midfield desperately needs. I am continually, and I realise that this statement is completely irrelevant, but I'm continually disappointed that there is no home in the England first 11 for Joe Cole, who I believe to be England's most talented player, perhaps just behind Wayne Rooney, certainly most talented attacking midfielder. And it is a matter of considerable lament that he is not in the first 11. I hope that he comes on.
Well, I was just going to say, it would be a tragedy if he doesn't even come on.
Yeah, I hope he tears up the Algerian defence after about 80 minutes or something like that. And because he is he's a magnificent footballer, and he should be playing in a World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more of an objective view, or standing back and standing away from from being English and being. I'm speaking as an England as a football fan here. He's a magnificent footballer and needs to be in a World Cup.
Yeah, I think that's what England do have is we have got people on the bench that can come on at a late stage and really sort of mix things up a bit. I mean, players with pace and skill, and Defoe's there, and you know what Defoe's like when he comes on as a sub for England. Even like, you know, against tiring legs, he makes hay, and the same is true for Crouch as well.
I think this is why England will win, isn't it? I think this is why England will win, because it should win this game. Because, I mean, even if it's 0-0 after 75 minutes, we should be able to have, as you say, Graham, a mixture of pace and skill to be able to beat down the... We assume the Algerians will be playing a counter-attacking style. Lots of pace going forward, which could catch Johnson out on the right and our slow centre halves. But, you know, they will largely be playing defensive pressing game, and they will be tired, frankly, because, you know, we've got fit players, athletic footballers. They will, you know, play a pressing game against England, they will wear you out sooner or later.
Yeah.
And I think that balance of skill and pace that we have off the bench, then we should even if we only end up squeezing past them 1-0, we should be able to collect 3 points after this fixture.
Hmm. Interesting, you mentioned Crouch there, and we mentioned Emil Heskey earlier on, who's also starting. It's been said that Algeria are a little vulnerable to the high ball going into the box, so either Heskey or Crouch would seem ideal for that purpose to exploit that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly Heskey. I thought he had a great game against the USA. I think he was one of the few bright spots of England in the first half. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's still holding his position up at the front there with Rooney. Hopefully he'll have another good game tonight.
It is a difficult one because I mean, Heskey does divide opinion, polarises opinion, because, you know, to use a quote from Trevor Brooking about Les Ferdinand, you know, his finishing isn't one of his strong points. And, you know, for a striker, that's always a bit of a drawback. But, I mean, he does offer so much for that focal point for the England attack that he's a much better at it, in my opinion, not just as being a target man, but being that kind of magnet, that trouble magnet for, you know, getting in amongst the back four and really making hay and getting in there in the classic, you know, almost Italian style of forward play. He's really, really good at that. His only downside is, yes, he really should score more goals, and he had the chances to score some goals against the USA, which he didn't take up, and that's the only drawback to his game. And I guess we just have to accept it. Crouch is a better finisher, but I mean, you know, he is a target man, and not quite the same kind of player as Heskey. And I think that, you know, if you're playing at altitude, and if there are question marks over the player's ability to control the new ball, then perhaps it's better to try and go with the formation and the tactics that you're familiar with rather than making changes now.
Agreed.
Is it time to settle down now?
I think it is.
Much still to discuss in terms of the players, even on the Algerian side, but I think we'll probably spend some time doing that at half time. It's time for us, however, to go and take our place on the sofa and watch the first half of the game. We'll speak to you again in just a few moments' time. Welcome back, everyone. It'll be half time then in Cape Town, and the score is England
rubbish,
nil, Algeria nil. How can I put this? It's the sort of game where you wish you had a TV HD. It was grim stuff, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was pretty much.
How bad are they? How bad are England? I mean, I think we could go through 1 to 11 and actually just pick them apart as being the most overrated, useless bunch of no hopers ever. I mean, Stephen Gerrard. I mean, this is the guy who's meant to be one of the most talented footballers in this country, and yet he just seems incapable of taking a shot or deciding what is the best option when he gets the ball.
Incapable of keeping the ball down. That's for sure.
Frank Lampard misplaces a 10-yard pass within 4 seconds of kickoff.
I'm not being funny, but I think they all misplaced passes of that kind of distance.
Aaron Lennon is there on his pace, isn't he? I mean, and yet he's been looking like he's playing in diver's boots. And the thing is, this guy is here, and he's doing nothing basically. I mean, having him there and not having him run around a lot with the ball at his feet, you know, isn't that like getting El Pats to play the Elephant Man? I mean, you just miscast him horribly. Gareth Barry is trying his damnedest, but he's looking better in defence than he is in midfield at the moment.
True.
Gah, to hell with it. Terry, your turn to speak.
I was going to say, let Terry have a chance to vent his spleen.
I haven't got any spleen to vent. I'm just so utterly deflated by what I've seen. At the beginning of the game, I was saying, it's okay because, we'll be putting them under pressure. We'll have the possession. They'll be playing a pressing game. And I'm looking at it and I'm wondering which team is actually England. I thought Algeria have been okay during the match. They got behind the defence a couple of times, but they're nothing terribly special. But England have just
rubbish.
Been
and that
abject.
Is the worst thing about the way we're playing.
I mean, you know, I scribbled down at halftime, I wrote down Algeria, not at halftime, sorry, during the first half, I scribbled down Algeria technically inferior, and then about 10 minutes later then scribbled it out.
Yes, well, that would be. I don't know what possessed you to write that down in the first place. I'm looking for positives. You can only positives you can look at would be in the last third of the half. After 30 minutes,
yeah.
when things just looked like they were just getting to string a few balls together. But yeah, I mean, as soon as they got anywhere near the goal, it just petered out. I mean, there were a couple of really good positions that both Gerrard, Lampard and Lennon found themselves in, and they just played these epoxy balls, absolutely epoxy is the only word I can think of, that were going nowhere except the nearest Algerian, which is like completely not the point of playing football. And it's just really, really painful in places to watch, and it's hard to see them improving unless they can make some changes. If they want to use Lennon, they should sit back deeper maybe and let the Algerians play, and then give the ball to Lennon, and then he can hit them on the counter attack in the way that Matt Moore is doing actually quite effectively, and Ziani is doing to us. And it's just not really happening, is it?
No, I'm struggling to try and sort of find any justification. I just wonder if it's sort of, at least for the first 25 minutes or so, whether it's just nerves or something. But because obviously they're not that bad normally. I just wonder, they had a look of sort of apprehension about them. And it wasn't until they sort of settled down, they managed to get a couple of shots in, as we know, as you said, about the sort of 25, 30 minute mark. And things looked a bit better. But what's a bit kind of soul-destroying for me is seeing Lennon and Glenn Johnson continuously trying to take on players around the edge of the box and failing, and as a consequence you've started seeing a few long range shots kind of coming in, but I'm just trying to work out how maybe they could be a bit more efficient by getting into the box, getting a bit closer to the goal to get some better shots on target,
maybe some more shape. I mean, we don't seem to be doing anything down the right, and there's no one down the left except Cole, because Gerrard seems to be playing in the centre of the midfield. So perhaps a little bit more shape might help. Dare I say it, maybe a change in personnel. Perhaps Joe Cole might be able to make some kind of sense of this lot, just to be able to unpick them.
I think it's clear that passing isn't England's friend. I mean, like,
no.
You know, they've tried it. I mean, like, fair play to them. And, you know, it's not going to happen. So maybe running past them, maybe running into the players, you know, I think that's what Heskey's been trying. And that's probably been our most successful tactic at the moment. Give it to Heskey and see if he can run through a few players.
See if he can win us a free kick, yeah.
I just despair at the moment because if anyone's got their face painted at the moment, you know, like how foolish do you feel right now? I mean, like, if you've got an England flag on your car, I mean, like,
I was just
about
to say,
you must feel, oh my God, I'm an absolute sucker. I paid £2 for those flags. God, look at me. They must have seen me coming from a bloody mile off. I mean, really, this side is poor. This side is poor. Do not delude yourself that this side is going to get any further than the second round, because it can't. It's going to come up against Slovenia or someone else. No, Serbia. It will come up against Serbia and in the second round, they will be embarrassed. And we will all go home and we'll think, well, that's that done for another 4 years.
I'll tell you what, if you manage to buy a Vuvuzela, then you're only deserving the ultimate derision from the likes of us three.
I'll tell you what, Chris, that's the one great thing about the first half. I couldn't hear the bloody brass band once. And that was brilliant. And I thought, never has the Vuvuzela sounded so sweet than it was like keeping out the great escape. I mean, like, it was an utter, utter joy.
Yeah, I don't think I actually heard the band in any country.
No, exactly. You can't hear them at all. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Well, things are looking up.
Yes, exactly. There is a positive sign to everything.
I mean, one thing that struck me during the first half when I was looking is that England's players just seem to be positioned so far apart that when it came to passing to each other, they inevitably were misplacing the passes. And why are they actually kind of getting together in whatever happened to playing in triangles and all that stuff?
I don't think they were that far apart. I think their inability to pass made it look like they were a lot further apart. I think it's just like it's perspective and it's all manner of stuff. But have you been reading Twitter? I mean, it's been fantastic to read for the last 3 quarters of an hour, like people suddenly realising how crap England are.
I was going to sort of suggest that we look at Twitter, but then I thought perhaps all three of us were probably a bit too preoccupied with watching.
I think it's like 200% said England are stinking this evening out. They all need foot transplants from animals if necessary.
Did you read Fisted Away's one? Did you read Fisted Away? Fisted Away said, "In your face, Franz Beckenbauer, we can't get a kick and we certainly don't plan on rushing anywhere soon."
That's fine. I mean, this is just like shooting fish in a barrel, then going into Twitter and getting comments out.
Things got so bad, everyone, that during the course of the first half, the TV cameras started pointing themselves at inanimate birds perched on top of the Algerian goal mouth. That's how bad it was.
I bet that bird's still there, isn't it?
It probably is. In fact, my good lady wife actually started to wonder whether it was just stuffed. Or maybe it was some kind of secret kind of webcam that had been put there or something.
That is exactly what my wife said. Like the bird in the Incredibles. It's going to sound an alarm if you get too close to it.
I, in fact, started to lighten the mood a bit. I started getting into my kind of Monty Python sort of routine. It's like, I tell you what it is, mate. It's dead. That's what it is.
Bleeding demise.
You can't do that. Yeah, it's bleeding demise. That's right. Paint me with the brush of sort of, trying to raise the mood here a bit, but has Capello not in the past, on a few occasions, managed to make a few good tactical switches at half-time? Is that possible, do we think?
We really hope so. I mean, let's hope that we can sort of get out a 3-0 win out of this and then forget this whole thing ever happened. But, luckily for us, we'll have the permanent record of this podcast, won't we?
That's right. It's whenever we actually reach the bottom, the very pit of our depression, we can always play this and realise that things can get much, much worse. But anyway, on that bombshell, let's now return to the second half because we're itching to see some more of this. We'll be back in just a few moments' time with our end of game review.
Oh, God!
I was going to say, after you, Graham. Oh, dear. Well, I think...
No. Yeah. After you. Oh, after
another
you.
Anguished
please.
Cry like we had at the start of part two. But oh well. I think.
No. I'm all out of anguish.
Just for once, I think I'm actually lost for words. That was quite possibly the most dismal England performance I've seen in a very long time, and believe me, I've seen a few.
And we have seen some pretty dismal performances in our time, haven't we?
I'm absolutely staggered.
That was hopeless. That was utterly hopeless.
Terry, yes. Save us.
You'd think that we would be used to this sort of disappointment, and yet we still always seem to come back for more. The only positives that I can possibly draw from this is that I think that the US will find Algeria as difficult to get through as we did. But as positives go, that's not much of a positive.
I've got one.
The team.
I think we might win the fair play trophy.
Yes.
That silence said it all, didn't it? Really? Yes. That's the best I've come up with.
That sucks the life out of a podcast. I think that. We're going to really struggle against Slovenia. They haven't been beaten in a very long time, and some better teams than that have tried against Slovenia and failed. I mean, if we had the US's kind of indomitable spirit and will to succeed despite adversity, then I might think that we were in with a chance. But
really,
I mean, I don't see that.
Can you really see England putting the type of fight that US put in the second half?
No, I can't. I genuinely can't. I mean, we have to concede. I think at this stage, after two games, we have to concede that we're, I don't know, the third or possibly fourth worst team in the group. Mm. And that's just the simple fact of the matter, and it's desperately unpleasant to contemplate, because, you know, especially after everything that we've said, and you know, and you know, we know England let us down, but we continue to somehow believe that we're better than we actually are, and you know, it's disturbing and annoying, you know, that, you know, teams come up the inside, and just seem to be better teams than us. I mean, I think player for player we're probably a very good side, but I mean, that's just a dreadful, dreadful performance.
Yeah, but each of those players played absolutely useless tonight. I mean, like, you know, the stars of our team were useless. There is no two ways about it. And like, I know the commentators will say what they say, but you know, it was clear as the nose in your face. You could see that Rooney wasn't in the game. Gerrard was hopeless. Lampard was hopeless. There was no one. There was no one of any quality out there at all. I mean, like, the complete inability to play an open, expansive style of football. I mean, like, Townsend was obviously, like, you know, ITV are obviously of the mind that, you know, it's all Capello's fault. But I can't believe that, you know, that he went out and told them and told them to play really shit. Because that's what they did. They can't pass over 10 yards. I mean, like, there is no excuse for that. If you can't pass over 10 yards, you're
a shit
footballer.
This is the same group of players that lost 1 out of 10 games in qualifying or something like that. It was just they were just a completely different. You'd think they were imposters dressed up in England kit. It was just it was that bad. It was absolutely awful. And I hate to single anyone out because they were all pretty poor. But I thought Gerrard was utterly shocking. I mean, for a captain's performance, I don't think I could single him out. I think he had one header from a cross that he directed sort of pretty much at the keeper.
No, I mean, and you get people, and you get the ITV guys saying, "Look, if he was playing in that attacking role like everyone else had been droning on about." Oh, no, sod it. No, look, you're meant to be one of the best players in the world. You know, if we put you at right back, we expect you to be one of the best right backs in the world because, you know, you are an amazing player. It doesn't stop you from making a 10-yard pass.
He played right back in the European Cup final at Liverpool one, didn't he? And he was immense. Yeah,
he made his name play.
So, I mean, he is capable of doing this, these wonderful things, and playing in all and being versatile if he absolutely needs to be for Liverpool. But, you know, like so many other England players, he's just singularly unable to translate that form in the World Cup or in the European Championships or, you know, or any of the major tournaments. It's almost impossible to understand why. Let's try and look ahead to the game against Slovenia. What do you think that England need to do to try and win that game on Wednesday?
I think they need to get an early goal and settle their nerves. I think it would be as good a suggestion as any, although that's easier said than done.
Have a shot on target would be a good thing.
So who do you think, I mean, which member of Fabio Capello's family do you think Joe Cole has insulted to him be preferred to have Defoe and Crouch preferred over him?
That was pretty much going through our minds. Mel and I, my wife and I, pretty much through the whole of the second half, really. We were just sort of thinking, what? Even now, I'm just finding it difficult to believe. He kind of left it late to put Crouch on and you know, to no effect. But, I mean, he did seem absolutely resolute that he was going to sort of stick with it right to the bitter end. And, of course, he made his substitution of Lennon for Wright Phillips, ironically about 5 seconds after Lennon flighted a very nice cross, if I remember rightly, which nearly resulted in something. But I mean, he's got to try. There's been a lot of talk in the newspapers over the last sort of few weeks about, you know, is Capello stubborn? Is he, you know, should he be telling his team, particularly his goalkeepers, you know, much earlier that they're going to be playing and all this sort of thing? And one of the things I think he sort of said was, you know, has he been picking players when he's clearly not going to use them? And Joe Cole obviously fits into that category. And I just think it's about time he probably did start trying it. He's got nothing else to lose. He's got potentially only one more game left in this competition. He might as well give some of these players a run out. I mean, he gave Joe Cole two runs out in the friendlies just before the World Cup started. So what was that for? Just to kind of make him feel better? I don't know.
So, I mean, do we think, I mean, after...
Well, it looks like he's going to have to drop either Lampard or Gerrard.
I wouldn't hesitate to drop Gerrard and say, sorry, gave you a chance there, and you screwed up big time.
We now move into England football team politics, because these are two players that can't be dropped, traditionally can't be dropped by an England manager because of the commercial value that those players have, and so I mean, if Capello genuinely feels that he needs to drop either of those two players, he may find himself in a difficult situation to do that. But I'm not entirely convinced that he would actually believe that is what needs to be done. If he did, I think he would have brought Joe Cole on during the game,
yes,
as a substitute, and he hasn't done so. I mean, in the past, we've been in a situation like this, and the players usually go to the manager and say, "Now look here, this isn't working. We need to change it this way." And on those two occasions, it was Bobby Robson who was the manager who was smart enough to listen to the advice of his players and go with a change in formation and change in personnel. I can't see Fabio Capello
being dictated to by his players
like that. Yeah, by his players. I think it looks desperately grim for England for the next game. I think that we could still qualify by getting a point. Just, I think, can we do that? You would have to say that.
Yeah, well, we can with a win against Slovenia. We'll definitely see.
Yeah, we know that. That's fine. But I mean,
a draw being what it is. If the USA get a result?
What will a draw do? I mean, if USA, I mean, USA, I think can beat Algeria. Yeah. I think they're quite capable of beating Algeria. If they can come back from 2-0 down against Slovenia, they can definitely have Algeria. You know, it doesn't look good for England. They're going to need to suddenly produce something.
Well, if we get a draw, then we could go out on goal score,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
Well, we've got no Carragher for the next match. He picked up a second yellow, so that's him out of the way.
Yeah, well, that's vaguely positive news. I think it wasn't all bad news.
I think we'll either be seeing Dawson or Upson, I suspect, coming into the next game. Yes. What can we say? I mean, France were bad, but they had the excuse of having a crap manager. I mean, we can't even sort of fall back on that one, really. Dear. Well, what can we say?
We should wrap things
it's
up.
It's about the time
we
will go off. If you're an England supporter and you're having trouble re-engaging with society, then you can call our hotline, which will be given the number at the end of the programme. Sorry this hasn't been a bit more upbeat, but it's not our fault. I mean, come on. If you want to listen to us again for another podcast, we'll be back online again soon. Do go to footballfairground.com, where you will find our stable of sites that we're maintaining throughout. The Onion Bags and People on the Pitch and so on and so forth. Sound of Football as well. For now, I think from Terry, from Graham and myself, it's a bad night. Oh dear. Time we went. Goodbye from us. Goodbye.
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 And now it's time for Soccer Yens.
Goodbye.